This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about scientific holy grails. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. People in the U.S. create more than 30 million tons of plastic waste in a year, and most of that ends up in landfills. Less than 10% is recycled. Alan Yu talked to scientists who are looking for ways to do better.
Karen Sweeney has been recycling since the 1970s. Back then, recycling was still a pretty fringe activity, something very few municipal waste collections even offered. Karen used EcoCycle, one of the oldest nonprofit recyclers in the U.S. in Boulder, Colorado.
They started with a yellow school bus that went around and picked up bags of newspapers.
She worked for a recycling group in Wyoming at one point. Karen is retired now and lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, in a private community called El Dorado. And she is still as committed to recycling as ever, and going above and beyond just sorting her trash. A few years ago, she got together with a few other people who wanted to recycle more of their waste, like Shirley Narr.
I think much of our community is very recycling conscious and disappointed that they can't recycle more than they can.
Their group of volunteers, called El Dorado 285 Recycles, now has about 20 members. They went to a local mall and asked for some space to collect things that could be recycled and reused, but cannot go into municipal recycling bins.
The rubber bands collected and taken to postal people.
Seasonal Christmas lighting to recycle the cords.
We collected athletic shoes because there was a small gym there.
A big problem is these items contain plastic, but the plastic is mixed with other materials, making them especially hard to recycle. The volunteers spend about an hour or two each week sorting through the bins, trying to find ways for these items to be either reused or recycled at companies that specialize in recycling complicated materials.
A friend's son calls us recyclos, and that may be true.
One of the places the group sends carefully sorted waste to is TerraCycle, a company based in New Jersey. Part of TerraCycle's business is working with manufacturers to recycle products that often just goes in the trash right now, like toothpaste tubes, toothbrushes, cosmetic containers, and pens. Customers like Karen pay to ship their sorted materials there, but they don't pay to recycle them. But are all those things really recycled? Those things have a mix of materials, with leftover toothpaste, makeup, or ink that need to be cleaned. So Karen and Shirley are a little worried that their effort goes to waste.
There are so many different kinds of pens. How do they actually recycle them? Same question with the dental. And I either have had no answer or very inconclusive answers. So, you know, I just kind of got my antenna up wondering what was going on here.
They got in touch with me and asked if I could check what happens to their boxes of stuff once they arrive at TerraCycle. So I went to the place where their packages go, a waste processing site in New Brunswick, New Jersey, that TerraCycle works with. It looks like the inside of a big loading dock. Workers are sourcing through mixed bags of waste and putting things in large cardboard bins.
Every single pen that we're getting from your collector in New Mexico is a pen that doesn't end up in a landfill.
Here with me is Kathy Pazakas, who's on the management team at TerraCycle. She says this is what happens to pens and makeup containers once TerraCycle gets them.
Very, very simply, imagine running it through a giant shredder machine so that we chop it up into as small pieces as possible. And the reason we do that is because we've got to find a way to separate all of those different materials from each other.
Then they use magnets to pull out any metal they can. The rest goes into a big tank of water where they can further separate the plastic or other materials based on whether it sinks or floats. This facility goes through hundreds of thousands of pounds of waste a week. That's about the weight of 70 cows. This sorting takes a lot of effort, and it is expensive, more expensive than just throwing stuff out. So part of TerraCycle's business is to put a price tag on the waste problem and get manufacturers or consumers to pay for it. So this facility separates plastic from other materials, like glass or metal, but that's just one part of the issue. The other part is breaking down the plastic itself. Plastics are polymers, chains of smaller particles forged together in a chemical process. The smaller particles are called monomers. Breaking down these polymers is challenging, like deconstructing a baked cake and trying to separate the eggs and flour after it's been in the oven.
If you can turn a polymer back into its monomer and then repurpose it, make a new polymer, that's the sort of the closed loop holy grail of polymer recycling.
Aaron Stashi is an organic chemist at Cornell University who works on plastic. She says this ideal closed loop of recycling, making something new out of the waste, this does not exist yet for most of the plastic we use now. Chemically, it's complex.
We've spent decades perfecting polymer synthesis and making these processes as inexpensive and as efficient as possible. And now we have to figure out how to make the backwards reaction, right? Turning it from polymer back into monomer. We have to find efficient ways to do that.
This is the big scientific question to solve. We can design and make amazing things with plastic. It's harder to unmake them. But scientists are working on it. A French company, Carbios, is scaling up efforts to break down and reuse PET, the plastic that water and soda bottles are made of.
There is a strong demand for recycled plastics, in particular recycled PET, but supply is limited with the current technologies.
Deputy CEO Martin Stefan says companies like L'Oreal, PepsiCo, and Nestle are all on board to make products out of their recycled plastic. At this time, they just can't recycle fast enough. Part of the demand comes from a European Union policy that requires companies to use more and more recycled plastic over the next few years. Aaron Stashi at Cornell and one of her students, Seiwon Oh, just published the details of how to break down polystyrene, another common type of plastic. Think white takeout containers or coffee cups. Their process breaks this material into benzoic acid, a chemical that's commonly used as a food preservative in things like soda.
I've been saving all of my polystyrene coffee cup lids, and they just sit on my desk, and I just hand them over to Seiwon whenever he needs a little bit more plastic to break it down.
Their process uses light to drive the reaction. Aaron's lab is still working on making it more efficient. It takes a lot of time and effort to score a small win in deconstructing a mountain of trash that's growing rapidly. For other types of plastic, the process is even more complicated. Take recycling car tires, for example. That's what John Torkelson, a chemical engineer at Northwestern University, is working on.
Those are highly engineered materials, and for them simply to be landfilled or shredded and burned for energy is a very poor way in terms of handling them at end of life.
The main problem is that the way tires are made now irreversibly cross-links chemicals together. Once bonded, they cannot be taken apart. John's lab found a way to make tires using a slightly different cross-linking process. The difference makes the manufacturing process reversible. That means the raw materials can be reused. He has not made a tire with this process yet, though his team has tested their process to make sure that their product can make it through the stress and pressure that an actual tire would be exposed to.
On the one hand, I think we've actually made great progress. So we've actually, in the past a half dozen years, developed 7 different chemistries that can be used to make these cross-linked polymers that were considered to be hopeless from the standpoint of recycling, to actually make them recyclable by being able to reprocess those materials.
And the processes they use are simple. That makes it more appealing for a tire company to try this. Tire companies would have to change their manufacturing process. So for car tires to be recycled, the product itself has to change. And that is one of the big challenges, says Tom Zaki, CEO of TerraCycle.
How do we then take a bigger step and start adjusting what the product is made from, and then an even bigger step in adjusting the entire concept of the product to shift from disposable to reusable?
He says for that to happen, governments will have to pass laws that force manufacturers to pay more attention to how their products are made, or make companies pay to cover the cost of proper waste disposal.